சாந்தியங்கரபாவஹை தேஜஸ்வினாவதீதமஸ்து மாவித்விஷாவஹை. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி.
Chapter 9 with the sport weight. Maya tatamidam sarvam, maya tatamidam sarvam, jagadavyakta murtina, jagadavyakta murtina, mattani sarva bhutani, mattani sarva bhutani, nachaham teshvavastitah, nachaham teshvavastitah, maya tatamidam sarvam, jagadavyakta murtina, மத்தானி சர்வ பூதானி நசாஹம் தேஷ்வவஸ்திதஹ நச மத்தானி பூதானி நச மத்தானி பூதானி பஷ்யமி யோகமைஸ்வரம் பஷ்யமி யோகமைஸ்வரம் பூத பிரன்னச பூதஸ்தஹ பூத பிரன்னச பூதஸ்தஹ மமாத்மா பூத பாவனஹ மமாத்மா பூத பாவனஹ நச மத்தானி பூதானி பஷ்யமி யோகமைஸ்வரம் பூத பிரன்னச பூதஸ்தஹ மமாத்மா பூத பாவனஹ யதா காஷஸ்திதோ நித்யம் யதா காஷஸ்திதோ நித்யம் வாயுஸ் சர்வத்ர கோமஹா வாயுஸ் சர்வத்ர கோமஹா ததா சர்வாணி பூதானி ததா சர்வாணி பூதானி மத்தானி த்யுபதாரய மத்தானி த்யுபதாரய யதா காஷஸ்திதோ நித்யம் வாயுஸ் சர்வத்ர கோமஹா ததா சர்வாணி பூதானி மத்தானி த்யுபதாரய சர்வ பூதானி கௌந்தேய சர்வ பூதானி கௌந்தேய ப்ரக்ருதிம் யாந்தி மாமிகாம் ப்ரக்ருதிம் யாந்தி மாமிகாம் கல்பக்ஷயே புனஸ்தானி கல்பக்ஷயே புனஸ்தானி கல்பாதௌ விஸ்ருஜாம்யஹம் கல்பாதௌ விஸ்ருஜாம்யஹம் சர்வ பூதானி கௌந்தேய ப்ரக்ருதிம் யாந்தி மாமிகாம் கல்பக்ஷயே புனஸ்தானி கல்பாதௌ விஸ்ருஜாம்யஹம் ப்ரக்ருதிம் ஸ்வாமவஷ்டவ்ய ப்ரக்ருதிம் ஸ்வாமவஷ்டவ்ய விஸ்ருஜாமி புனஃ புனஃ விஸ்ருஜாமி புனஃ புனஃ பூத க்ராமமிமம் கிருத்னம் பூத க்ராமமிமம் கிருத்னம் அவசம் ப்ரக்ருதே வசாத் அவசம் ப்ரக்ருதே வசாத் ப்ரக்ருதிம் ஸ்வாமவஷ்டவ்ய விஸ்ருஜாமி புனஃ புனஃ பூத க்ராமமிமம் கிருத்னம் அவசம் ப்ரக்ருதே வசாத்.
Tells Arjuna that I shall declare this greatest secret, Raja, Mukhya, this knowledge together with wisdom, because you are not camel, you are qualified, you don't criticize. And therefore, I will explain to you in detail which having known we shall become free from evil, from all the vasanas, from all the mental agitation and suffering. The main cause according to Vedanta for our suffering is the ignorance of our true self. Knowing the nature of our true self, and again the wisdom of our true self, all our suffering vanishes. So this is the royal knowledge, the royal secret, the supreme purifier. It completely destroys all the ignorance and delusion. And it's directly realizable through our usual effort coupled with humility. It is righteous, dhanyam, very easy to practice and imperishable. And then he says, you must have shraddha to gain this knowledge. So, parantapa, men devoid of shraddha in this dharma, without attaining me, sorry, when devoid of Shraddha into Dharma without attaining me, return to the path of the mortal world. Without Shraddha. Shraddha, as we have said, generally loosely translated as faith, but it is much more than faith. It's faith plus conviction plus consistency. You follow your conviction till you reach that and you become one with it. You practice that with utmost consistency. That is Shraddha. You take it literally as true. And you, Adi Shankara says, faith in the words of the Master and the literature is Shraddha. So you hear from the Master when he says you are the Self. You have Shraddha and till you realize the Self, you will not give up the Dharma. That is Shraddha. So there are only people who have Shraddha will gain this. Others, they do not. And when they don't, what happens? They return to the path of mortal world, which is they get affected by the change. Death means, birth means change. Every little change affects you. And when you go beyond, you don't get affected by any change. We'll do 4 and 5 again today, because last week it was not recorded and few of them were not there. But I'll be doing little part 1, right? Maya tatamidam sarvam, maya tatamidam sarvam, jagadavyatta murtina, jagadavyatta murtina, mastani sarva bhutani, mastani sarva bhutani, najaham teshva vastitaha, najaham teshva vastitaha, maya tatamidam sarvam, jagadavyatta murtina, mastani sarva bhutani, najaham teshva vastitaha. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagadavyatta bhutina. All this world is pervaded by me in the unmanifest form. All beings dwell in me and I do not dwell in them. Here Lord Krishna speaking as Ishvara. The Lord says the entire universe is pervaded by me in the unmanifest form. Unmanifest means that which is not available for your senses, mind and intellect. That infinite pure consciousness pervades this entire world in the unmanifest form. And then he says, all beings dwell in me and I do not dwell in them. All beings dwell in me and I do not dwell in them means what? How do you understand this? All beings dwell in me and I do not understand it. I don't dwell in them.
Let me explain that
in a big circle. Like that, small circle. So you must remember that example of big circle and small circle that we discussed in chapter 7. Because this thought is same, what he says here. Only it changes little bit in the next verse. This part of it is the same as what he said in verse number 12 of chapter 7. There he says, Sattva, Rajas, Tamas are in me, I am not in them. He says, all beings dwell in me. The small circle dwells in the big circle. Right? There is a huge big circle, within that there is a small circle. So the small circle is in the big circle. The big circle is not in the small circle. And especially he wants to say that, in a way you can argue and say, little portion of the big circle is in the small circle. But he says, I do not dwell in them. I do not dwell in them in the sense, the beings are all dwelling in their own world. The consciousness is not in them. They are all lost in the perception, action, emotions and thoughts. Right? Also, what you need to understand here is, he is trying to emphasize this point that Brahman, even though the world apparently has evolved from Brahman, Brahman is essentially independent. The beings cannot have their existence without Brahman. Yet, Brahman is not dependent on their emanation. It exists independently. That's what he's trying to say here. This whole portion. So he says, all beings dwell in me. I do not dwell in them. See, there can be no snake without a rope. So snake dwells in the rope. The rope is saying, I don't dwell in snake. Why? Because the moment snake has come, you are not aware of the rope. Believe me. Yet, the snake cannot exist without the underlying rope. So he says, the ghost exists even without a ghost. But the ghost cannot exist without
pole.
There is a post lying on the fixed on the ground. You in the night don't see the post as a post. You misunderstand it as a ghost. So the ghost exists in post, but post exists independent of the ghost. That's all he wants to say here. Waves are dependent on the ocean, but the ocean is not dependent on the waves. So many examples we can give. Also, he is subtly trying to tell us that all beings dwell in me, meaning their existence is based on me. But I do not dwell in them. Once beings have come about, each one is lost in his own world. Tattva, brothers. Sattvic person is lost in sattvic world. Rajasic person is lost in rajasic world. Tamasic person is lost in rajasic world. So I don't do it. All parts have its existence in clay. But the clay does not dwell in pot. In the sense, once it becomes a pot, the name and form people get lost. So that way also you could see this. And the beings do not know. Like fish is swimming in water, but it has no idea of water. It cannot exist without water. Like that you are dwelling in pure consciousness, yet you are far away from consciousness. In your mind there are so many other things. Radhi Shankara says, Balastavat Kridastava, Tarunastavat Saruni Sattaha, Vruddhastavat Chinta Sattaha, Parame Brahmani Kopinastava. See, truly speaking, what does growing up mean? What we are doing is, we are not really growing up. We have replaced one toy with another. When we were small, we were playing with toy Cinderella. Having grown up, we are playing with alive Cinderella. One required a battery and keying in. Now that is not needed. That's about it. So that's what he is saying. Balastavat Krida Sattva. Tarunastavat Taruni Sattva. Vruddhastavat Chinta Sattva. When you are a small boy, you play with toys. Balastavat Krida Sattva. Then when you become a young man, passion, the opposite sex, the career, etc. that you are caught up in. Then, Vruddhastava Chinta Sattva. You become old, all worries start. Parame Brahmani Kopina Sattva. When do you ever think of Brahman? Who ever thinks of Brahman? Nobody. So in other words, they are dwelling in me, they are existing in me, but they are not thinking about it. They are all thinking about something else. So in this world, he accepted that beings dwell in me. Right? In the next world, he is going to reject that also. Nacha mattani bhutani, nacha mattani bhutani, pashyame yoga maishwaram, pashyame yoga maishwaram, bhuta bhinna cha bhutastaha, bhuta bhinna cha bhutastaha, mamatma bhuta bhavanaha, mamatma bhuta bhavanaha, nacha mattani bhutani, pashyame yoga maishwaram, bhuta bhinna cha bhutastaha, mamatma Bhuta Bhavanaha. The previous verse he said, beings dwell in me, I don't dwell in them. Now he says, Nacha Mattani Bhutani. Not do beings dwell in me. You think he's the most confused fellow. Previous verse he accepted that they dwell in me. Now he says, they do not dwell in me. And he says, Pashyame Yoga Maishwaram. He says, behold my divine yoga. What is this divine yoga that he is talking about? Is there actually a snake existing?
No.
The snake is existing only for the person who is seeing. It's only in your mind. There is no snake existing. He's another trying to tell us that his existence is only illusion. So the snake evolving out of the rope is not like tree evolving out of the seed. It's not the cause and effect in that sense. Brahman is not the cause, the same way the seed is, Brahman is not the cause of this world, like how the seed is the cause of the tree. From the seed, the tree has come. But here, Brahman is the cause of the world in the sense like how rope is the cause of snake. It's a superimposition. It's an illusion. So Brahman is the foundation on which the world is superimposed, just like how rope is the foundation on which the snake is superimposed. But in the beginning, first he goes along with you. He says, yes, beta, you are seeing a snake, correct? The snake is existing in me. Straight away, he doesn't say world is an illusion. In the very first class, if he says world is an illusion, even these little students will not be there. Slowly, he has to take you to his level and then give them. See, you have to give the knowledge according to the person who is receiving. The teacher has to come down to the level of the student. Can't expect the student to come to the level of the teacher. So in the beginning, first they say, world was created by God. God is the creator, world is a created. Like how pot maker makes pot. Then slowly you ask question, there seems to be lots of logical fallacy in this. How can there be pot maker creating pot like that? God creating the world, then where was he when he created this world? And who created that place where he was when he created this world? What do you mean? So then Vedanta says, excuse me, you broke little more. So let us tell you now. How? It is not that God created the world. God himself or herself or himself has become the world. So this world is also nothing but God. The concept of Nama Rupa is brought in. Like how diamond and charcoal are essentially carbon. Only the Nama Rupa is different. Nama means name, Rupa means form. But essentially they both carbon. Similarly, the God material is the same. Like in the gold and gold ornaments. Gold say, gold ornaments are. Right? So many ornaments have come, but the essential material is gold. Same. Then, that is where he said, be dwell in me. I don't dwell in you. But gold is not dependent on the ornament. Ornaments are dependent on the gold. So in that sense, though the ornaments have come from gold, gold is saying, except they dwell in me, but I do not dwell in them. Now you have grown little more. Then you are limiting God here also. So now that you have grown little more, he comes to the next level of explanation where he says, excuse me, it is not like gold and ornaments also. That also is limited. It has a limitation. So what is the next? Next is there.
No one.
There is only Brahman. Due to the play of your senses, you have projected the world. You have projected yourself and the world together. There is no snake lying on the ground. You ask the boy to talk about the snake a little bit. Describe the snake. He'll say, this snake is 5 feet long, 3 inches thick, black in color and coiled. Instantly you who see the rope understand what? The rope is 5 feet long, 3 inches thick, black in color and coiled. So the qualities that the boy is describing of the snake is nothing but the qualities of the
rope.
But the boy has non-apprehended the rope and has misapprehended the snake. Similarly, you ask people to describe the world. They say, world is made up of time-space causation. Time is eternal. Space is all-pervading. Causation is endless. And you instantly understand, Brahman is eternal, all-pervading, endless. So the qualities of Brahman have mirrored itself as the world. So he says, the world actually doesn't dwell in me. Because there is no snake. Snake doesn't dwell in me. It is all in your head. Maya.
Because of my ignorance.
Because of your ignorance. The ignorance of your true self, out of that non-apprehension of your true self, you have projected this misapprehension. So when in this, all that we need to understand is, we talk about paramarthika satyam and vyavaharika satyam. Paramarthika satyam means absolute truth. Vyavaharika satyam means practical level. In vyavaharika level, now you are seeing the snake. When you see the snake, what do you have to do? Run. Similarly, when you are in the Vyavaharika world, for you the world is there. Don't go about saying there's no world. Then when there is some suffering going on, don't come and complain. Then I will say, who is suffering? What suffering? Which is suffering? Are you with me? So within the Vyavaharika, there is cause and effect relationship. Believe me, once the snake is seen, within that there is cause and effect. You have to understand that and function. So don't misunderstand these verses. So he says, nor do beings dwell in me. Pashyane yoga maishuram. Like how? You see a person sleeping. But as far as he is concerned, he has no identification with that body, with that maker. You are saying he is sleeping. In his mind, now he is involved in a separate world. Are you with me? Which is called a dream. Are you with me? You see a person lying on the ground. He's sleeping, he's breathing, he's alive. You could see his breathing going up and down, stomach bulging out and going in as he's sleeping. Right? You know he's alive. But is he alive to that world? As far as he's concerned, he's not alive to this world. He is in the imaginary world called dream. Are you with me? He will not understand that. He is lost in imaginary world now. Everything in imaginary world is disturbing him, affecting him, having a say upon him. Right? Now when he wakes up from that and comes back to this, then you can declare, in the beginning, first you say, dream exists in the waker's mind. Right? But waker's mind does not exist in the dream. Then when you wake up from the dream and come and you say, dream actually does not exist in waker's mind. It was a fiction, imagination, temporary. Right? Actually doesn't exist. He says, nor do beings dwell in me. Behold my divine yoga. how the maker is there alive, but jeev world also simultaneously has come about, bringing forth and supporting me. Myself does not dwell in them. Just like how bringing forth and supporting the dream, the maker's mind does not dwell in the dream. It is always separate. What is sustaining the dream? The maker's mind. Right? The undigested thoughts of the waking state which require immediate fructification of pressure due to the pressure built within the dream comes about. Right? In the waking state there are so many thoughts, and the undigested thoughts brings about the dream. And the dream is projected by the they are brought forth and supported by the waker's mind. But the waker's mind does not dwell in them. It separately exists. That's all is saying here. So in other words, the concept of God slowly Vedanta evolves. Finally is there, Brahman only is there, nothing else, all which. So that is why in Vedanta we say, we ask this question, when did the world begin? When did the world begin? For you?
When you were born.
When you were born? When you were? Conceived. Born. When?
He always existed existing in the absolute truth. Whether you were aware of it or not.
When we wake up, you said told us last.
Yeah.
When you woke up? See, go to the dream. In the dream, Shweta, I asked Shweta, how old are you? So and so, 30, 40, 50, whatever age you give, so many years. Right? Where is it happening? In the dream. And then, so that means this world is 30, 40 years old only. No, my father is 65. So, and his father is also living 90. So, so many years old. If I tell you, excuse me Shweta, it's only 3 seconds old. Will you not laugh at me? You will laugh at me. You say, sir, come on, give me a break. I knew you were little nut, but not this much. Not this much. What are you saying? I am 40 years old. Minimum 40 years is this thing, no? So it was born, it started when I was born at least, you will say. Like how you have said. No. The world was existing in that I was born. Some people say. Then I tell you, excuse me, this is only 3 seconds old. Similarly, when you woke up, you projected Rita and Rita's world. You projected Shweta and Shweta's world. That's the fact, says Vedanta. So when you are in the deep sleep, you are not aware of this world at all. The world did not exist for you. The moment you wake up, along with your vasana, the entire world has come up. You and the world always coexist. When you wake up from the dream, do you mean to say all your other friends and everybody is continuing in the dream? So Vedanta says, bringing forth and supporting beings, myself does not dwell in them. So this divine yoga is the yoga between illusion and the reality. The union between the play, Maya, the play between illusion and the reality. Snake and the rope. The basis, foundation is divinity. Hence it's called as divine union, divine yoga. So the maker's mind is that which brings forth and supports the dream. without which there will be no dream.
So vacant mind is consciousness.
The example. Vacant mind is not consciousness. Consciousness is beyond the vacant mind. But in the example, we are equating vacant mind to consciousness. And the dream world to this world. So whole thing is a movement of your whole thing is projected by your vasanas. Therefore they say you eliminate the vasanas, then you will know the truth. As long as the vasanas are there, the vasanas manifest, you come about and the world will be there simultaneously for you. Remove the ignorance. How?
By gaining the knowledge.
Next verse.
Yada kashastito nityam, yada kashastito nityam, vayusarvatra gomahan, tata sarvani bhutani, तथा सर्वाणि भूतानि मत्तानि चुपधारय मत्तानि चुपधारय यदा काशस्थितो नित्यं वायुः सर्वत्र गोमहान् तदा सर्वाणि भूतानि मत्तानि चुपधारय
as the mighty wind moving everywhere rests ever in space even so know that all beings rest in me. See, he says, of the five elements, space is the subtlest. Subtlety is measured by the pervasiveness and the control. Space is more pervasive than wind. Right? So space is the subtlest of all the five elements. So the rest of the four elements, earth, water, fire and air, they rest in space. Right? Space is all-pervading. So he says, as the mighty wind which is moving everywhere, rests ever in space, always in space, it cannot go away from space. Like fish always exists in water. He says, even so, know that all beings rest in me. In other words, gross exists in subtle. But even when the gross exists in subtle,
gross in no way contaminates the subtle.
It appears contaminated, but it is not really contaminated. Do you mean? If there is a dead animal and the wind blows, the wind carries the foul smell. Do you see? But even when the wind carries the foul smell, it doesn't contaminate space. But it appears as if the space is contaminated.
Similarly, even when our mind has projected this world, the projection has not contaminated the reality in any way. Do you mean? The projection does not contaminate the reality in any way. Waves come, so many waves have come. Has it contaminated the ocean in any way? No way.
With me. So that's what he's trying to say here. As the mighty wind moving everywhere, I'm there as a base, but I am not at all contaminated. I am independent. I remain independent. So Vedanta understands this. That's why he said, when people suffer, he said, wise people do not grieve. They won't tell you that actually you are imagining. Somebody suffers, you don't tell them. So what are you talking about? Imagine you are mad and really suffering. Because they say, you are not suffering, the body. but you are identified with the body. So even when you have identified with the body, you seem to be contaminated and affected by it. Honestly, strictly speaking, the Brahman, the self in you, is definitely not contaminated or affected. So to explain that, he gives this example. It's like how wind may be contaminated, but it doesn't pollute the speech. Truly, yourself is never contaminated by all these projections. It always remains immaculate. All you need to do is realize that. When you realize that, you understand, my God, all this is a tamasha. Unnecessarily, I was getting panicked. Remember the story that I mentioned many times, when Mahavishnu and Narada Muni were taking a walk. Narada Muni asked, what is this illusion? Maya, please explain to me. Yeah, forget about Maya, illusion, all that. I'm very thirsty. Give me a glass of water. He went to the neighboring river to get a glass of water. There he saw a beautiful girl, beautiful woman. And he got involved with her, and then he proposed. She accepted. They got married, produced so many children. Slowly, he was totally involved in samsara, completely. And the pangs of samsara started getting into him. So one day, he threw up his arms and said, "Oh Narayana, please save me from this samsara." Then he heard a voice. Narayana's voice, Vishnu's voice saying, "Are, I asked for a glass of water, kya hua?" In other words, all this is your mind. You wake up, instantly everything dissolves. But don't tell this when a person is suffering, because he is in the dream. In the dream you have to give him solution. Within the dream, this will not give you a solution. You can't mentally imagine. It's not hypnotizing yourself. Please understand. One can hypnotize oneself that there is no world. That's not the real stage. It's not hypnotizing. It is dissolving the ignorance completely.
Sarva bhutani kaunteya, sarva bhutani kaunteya, prakritim yanti mamikam, prakritim yanti mamikam, kalpakshaye punastani, kalpakshaye punastani, kalpadav visrujamyakam, kalpadav visrujamyakam, sarva bhutani kaunteya, prakritim yanti mamikam, kalpakshaye punastani, kalpadav visrujamyakam.
O Kaunteya, at the end of a kalpa, time cycle, all beings enter my prakriti, nature. At the beginning of a kalpa, I bring them forth again. We've already studied about kalpa in the previous chapter. Right? One day of Brahma, one night of Brahma. During the day of Brahma, all beings come into existence. Brahma. And during the night of Brahma, Brahmaji, all beings go back to unmanifestation, pralaya. We studied this, you remember? In the 8th chapter, Prabhava, pralaya. 4.32 billion terrestrial years is one day of Brahma. Huh? Kalpa cycle. You can see that in the previous chapter, I think verse 17 onwards, we talked about. Right. How four yugas put together like that 1,000 yugas is one day of Brahma. And then another 1,000 yugas like that is one night of Brahma. And Brahmaji lives 100 years. Then there is Mahapralaya. Then after so many years, again Brahmaji comes back to life. You mean, just like how you wake up, all your vasanas manifest. Then you go to sleep, all your rasa go back to manifestation. This you understand with reference to you. Similarly, he is saying, when Brahmaji is awake, the whole world has come to manifestation. And in that, so many cycles of birth and death for us happen. But when Brahmaji is awake, finishes. When Brahmaji also goes to sleep, then what happens? Pralaya, so many, all beings go back to then he again wakes up after so many years. So many years in reference to us.
Then again, when he sleeps, Brahmaji, for so many years,
all the vasanas, whole thing put together, will be in unmanifested.
So there is no world, nothing at that time, no creatures.
Then when he wakes up, whole thing comes. Once the whole thing comes, till he goes back to sleep again, the cycle of birth, death, everything.
But like when we are saying that we wake up, our world manifests, and when we sleep, but in sleep and dream stage, what is it then? That is also the subconscious is in sleep. If you're not in deep sleep, in the sleep, in the dream stage of sleeping, at that point of time, also if your vasanas and your subconscious, which is creating a world, or what is that?
Waking state means whatever vasanas, desires, which were unfulfilled, but they required immediate expression. They come out in the form of dream. So the base of that is also vasana.
Is in the waking stage only.
Base is vasana only. The vasana only projects the waking state. But in the waking state, whatever thoughts that you had, which were unfulfilled, and the pressure is so much that they require immediate pressure release. They come in the form of
dream.
So that way, the dream also has its base in
vasana.
Okay, so now don't confuse yourself with that. So he is just trying to say, at the beginning of a kalpa, the whole thing comes out. So he says, at the end of a kalpa, all things enter my prakriti, non-apprehension. Then, at the beginning of a kalpa, I bring them forth. Right? See, the rope is lying on the ground. The potential of not understanding rope lies in the rope or not? When there is a rope lying on the ground, you can understand it or not understand it. So the potential of not understanding the rope lies in the rope. You see? And then you misapprehend it as snake. With me. So the potential of not understanding Brahman as Brahman exists in Brahman. That potential he calls as prakriti. From that potential, when I identify with that potential, then comes the misapprehension, the world. Are you with me? So I bring forth, by identifying with my potential, the misapprehension snake. In that example. Similarly, I identify with the potential of not understanding Brahman as Brahman, I project the world. So he says, I bring forth and I fold back. This is what he said in this verse. Next verse. Prakritim swamavashtabhya, prakritim swamavashtabhya, visrjami punah punah, visrjami punah punah, bhuta gramamimam krishnam, avasham prakritervasha, prakritim swamavashtabhya, visrjami punah punah, bhuta gramamimam krishnam, avasham prakritervasha. Animating my own prakriti, I bring forth again and again all this multitude of beings helplessly by the force of prakriti.
So even though I am animating, by the force of prakriti, the whole thing comes about. The force of vasanas, they come about helplessly. Helplessly your vasanas manifest.
The base being Atma, Brahman, I animate it. I am living it. But the prakriti is what is manifesting. That's what he's saying here.
So manifold beings are coming about from repeatedly, again and again, because vasanas are still there. So today, Brahman is declaring here as the source of all this being, the entire phenomenon of expression, the emanation, the whole thing comes. Just like how in the vast ocean, the waves emanate. Like that in Brahman, the prakriti is manifested. Right? The whole thing is play of prakriti. I am just a delivery. So is it? I am just an delivery. Vasanas helplessly bring it up. If you have not exhausted the vasanas, again tomorrow morning. Isn't it? You go to sleep. What happened to your vasanas in the sleep? They have gone back to dormant state. Then when you wake up, again helplessly the vasanas manifest. It's not as if you go to sleep as a mathematician and you wake up as a dreamer. Dancer. You will go back, you go to sleep as a mathematician, then you wake up also as a mathematician, because all along the vasanas were
existing as
dormant. Excuse me. Same vasanas come repeatedly again and again. Now all this while he said, I am animating, I mean. Now he slowly withdraws. Nacha mamsani karmani, nacha mamsani karmani, nibadhanti dhananjaya, nibadhanti dhananjaya, udasinavadasinam, udasinavadasinam, asattam teshu karmasu, asattam teshu karmasu, nacha mamsani karmani, nibadhanti dhananjaya, udasinavadasinam, asattam teshu karmasu. Not to these beings, sorry, not to these acts, O Dhananjaya, bind me. Like one unconcerned, unattached to those acts. Where the waves coming from the ocean, does it in any way bind the ocean? Way to bind the ocean. Coming and going, coming and going. Right? At any given point in time, there are so many waves. And there are so many waves which has become obsolete. New waves have come, old waves have become obsolete. Does it make any difference to the ocean? Not at all. So he says, nor do these acts of emanation and dissolution bind me, O Dhananjaya, O winner of wealth, Arjuna, gain this wealth. You should identify with that ocean, like that ocean.
All these vasanas coming forth, manifesting, going around, prakriti functioning should not have any binding upon you.
Then you have really gained the wealth that needs to be gained. The real wealth that one must gain is this wealth to be a witness for the drama of prakriti. All other wealth is not real wealth. The real wealth that you can gain is the ability to be a witness to the drama that unfolds. Now, hunger comes. Slowly when hunger comes, what happens? Overpowered by hunger. Nature binds you. You should be able to stand apart from that. then you have reached that state. Slowly, slowly you must become witness. The Prakriti should not have the ability to bind you. See, the difference between us and the Mahatmas is, in them also the Prakriti functions. But they are not bound by the perfect. In us the Prakriti functions and they are bound by the perfect. We are not really being that will. So it is, now to the latch of Dhananjaya bind me. Really speaking, the Lilliputians binding Gulliver. Lilliputians thought they were binding. But as far as Gulliver is concerned, he was never bound. All he did was little stretch. Little relative knowledge goes in and you stretch, expand, nothing binds you. Due to ignorance you have shrunk yourself to a small little personality. Huh? As a result of that, you are now feel bound. It is fact that you are bound, or you thinking that you are bound itself is imagination. You are not really bound. You have identified you are, therefore you think you are bound. You got to break the identification. Simply be an eliminating factor to the present. Be an observer. Be an observer. Be a witness. Then you understand practically functioning has nothing to do with it. I ran on a thorn. Ran on a thorn. Thorn. Thorn is on the ground. Right? There is a thorn on the ground. You run on it. Thorn is now gone into your flesh. Similarly, Prakriti is doing its work. Why did you go and unnecessarily bind yourself with it? Because you did not attend Gita class. Or you attended Gita class but you did not concentrate. Right? So Krishna says, this is the truth. Nor do these acts of Dhananjaya bind me. No. Remaining like one unconcerned. Like unconcerned. Udasi. And unattached. See the difference between a selfless soul and that. When he is hungry, he also gives food to the body. He also gives food. But he always remains a sakshi. But we are involved. There is no standing apart in us. We are entirely dependent on the play of Prakriti. That dominates us. So then, like one unconcerned and unattached to the world. Unattached. Like how the world, the stimuli from the world is falling on your retina. But the retina is never strained. Constantly, as long as your eyes are open, the stimuli is entering your retina, isn't it? Constantly it's falling on your retina. Does your retina get strained? Like that, all these acts must go on, but you must remain unattached. This is a drama. The whole thing is a big drama. Prakriti is manifesting. The momentum. No. You have swung in a particular way, conditioning. Basically the whole thing is nothing but conditioning. All the fellows in that movie,
too much.
Truman Show. The Truman Show, all the characters know that is the set. Only the world of the world. So he is saying like that. Here he is saying Ulta. Nobody knows here. Krishna is saying the whole thing is a setup. This setup is upsetting you. The setup should not upset you. Setup continues, don't disturb the setup. Wise man does not come and disturb the setup. So after this Gita class and you go home, you don't disturb the setup. Do you know all this world is an illusion? Then they say, a doubt of the phone. The fifth result does come. Just keep quiet. Right? Don't go and say all these things. Set up continues. For them it's so real. We are all lost in Prakriti. So in other words, you will also go about doing your business. Whatever your nature is, function. Prakriti functions. But now for you it's a play. For them it's a real thing. When you play sometimes with your children or grandchildren, you purposely cheat, no? Just to make fun of them. That's so fun, you cheat. No, this is cheating, and they'll cry. Right? For them it's very real. For you it is just a game. So what is it? See, once you are identified with the mind body, then what happens? Nothing looks like a drama. You're so far through. You are in it. And you could have been in it for days together, and years together. Whenever you come out, my God, how are they? Lost in it. But whenever you got out in a fraction of seconds. But when you got out, you said, my God, I was caught in it. Yes, you were caught. Exactly like rainbow. You're seeing a rainbow. What is there is, yet I'm seeing. Prakriti is functioning through the senses. In that you allow the Prakriti to function. So within the world all the order and everything is there. Please understand this. Within the world he also will function normally. You will see him also, he is sleeping. Everything, Buddha also you saw. Same thing, everything. Nature functions. The only difference is, he was unattached. We are attached.
In other words, he will also come with you to work. He will work fully. But once he leaves his office, goes back home, he doesn't carry his office on his head. With you, you carry your office on your head.
And from home, next day morning when you go to work, you carry your home on your head. See, you think traveling tires you. Traveling doesn't tire you. Your baggage tires you. If you can travel baggage free, you will not get tired. What tires you is your baggage, not traveling. What tires you is not living, but unnecessary baggage. So he says, Dhananjaya, gain that wealth, man. Without gaining that wealth, what are you doing? Carrying the baggage? Will my son get married? Will we have children? Will they be able to speak? Will there be normal children or ADHD? All sorts of unnecessary worries. Just gain that wealth. Now do these acts bind me, O Punjaya. Remaining like one and concerned. In the sense, I do everything that I have to do, but I am not concerned of the outcome. This is what he calls as playing the game for the sake of playing. It's a game. See, when you know the philosophy, the serious life becomes a game. When you don't know this philosophy, then game starts becoming very serious to you. When you read the life of Krishna, Krishna was playing serious roles as a game. For us, even in game we get involved. Isn't it? IPL. Those get involved. Politics get involved. It's all a game. See, this whole perspective is to look at the whole thing as a game. Leela. Play of what a game. One particular form is called learning. So this conditioning is what we need to come out of. All of us from childhood got into some conditioning. And even this moment you are constantly being conditioned. Be able to question that conditioning. Then you will see, yes, in nature, these things are functioning normally. Then it comes. And I withdraw. I don't allow myself to get conditioned. That is where the attachment starts. So many conditions are there. And it's almost impossible to question the condition. Firstly, to even doubt that I am conditioned. Then you are deconditioned. When you decondition, you say, my God, there is really nothing was binding me. It's just my condition. So you say, no, my child, my son, my daughter. Prakriti multiplicity and laughing. Because the very mind is affecting. In one expression, you have identified and said, mind. The constantly changing world. This really speaking, there is no mind. Why is the deepest condition? The small I is a fiction. Only the big I is real. Next person. Maya Gyakshena Prakritihi Maya Gyakshena Prakritihi Suyate Tacharacharam Suyate Tacharacharam Hetu Nanena Kaunteya Hetu Nanena Kaunteya Jagatviparivartate Jagatviparivartate Matya Maya Gyakshena Prakritihi Suyate Tacharacharam Hetu Nanena Kaunteya Jagatviparivartate by me presiding. By me presiding, Prakriti produces the moving and the unmoving. Chara, achara. Because of this Okamteya, the world revolves. See, In the beginning he said, I am animated, I bring forth. Then he said, these acts do not bind me. Now he completely withdraws, totally, and says, in my presence the Prakriti is creating, moving and the example also. You keep the water in a vessel. The heat component, fire. Fire has two basic qualities. The heat and light. The fire, when it is used to heat the water in a vessel, water only reflects the heat aspect, not the light aspect. So water becomes hot. You mean? But the same fire, when you use to heat metal, iron, heat it, retains, reflects both the heat and light. You mean? So the same cell, through the Prakriti, varieties in Prakriti, in that some are reflecting my Sat and Chit, which is moving. Some are reflecting only Sat, they are unmoving. But actually, sat means existence. Chit means conscious. So the conscious being, which is moving, the unconscious being will not moving. With me. So this both conscious living beings and the non-living things are essentially me only. Prakriti is projecting it as this. And there is interaction between the moving and the unmoving. In this interaction, now slowly you get conditioned. In this conditioning, you develop vasana and you go on staying in that. One fine day, you wake up. Then you say, all this is nothing but condition. So you say, because of the Lokamteya, O Kunti Putra, the world revolves, the samsara, into this. You see what he is trying to say, it's very deep. He is saying, you understand the example, no? Water only is retaining the heat. Similarly, Atma is functioning, Prakriti is reflecting the Atma. There, you suddenly see the moving and the unmoving, the conscious being and the unconscious things. Then, the conscious being interacts with the other conscious being and the things. Then, it is slowly started conditioning itself. I am me, I am Shweta, etc. Slowly, and everybody starts reiterating. Oh, you are so nice, you are so bad, you are so good looking, you are not so good looking, you are so tall, you are so short, you understand? You are like this, you are like that. Conditioning goes on. Then, accordingly, you start creating further vasana, supporting more and more conditioning. When you go deep inside and question everything, really speaking, what is going on there is Prakriti is expressing the self. Sat and Chit is both expressing me. When I understand this, I will be in bliss, ananda. Otherwise, I get samsara, get into this revolution, going on punarati jannam, punarati jannam, generation. Narapi Maranam, Narapi Janam. Continue. So there is a world involved in this condition. When you start understanding the whole thing, whole conditioning subsides, then there is no world, there is no samsara. Let's continue. Om Purnamadah Purnamadah.
पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। सकलं परस्मै सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि नारायणायेति समर्पयामि।